So we begin a new sermon series today, Living from Abundance, Overflowing Our Banks. Overflowing the banks. Yeah. Grounded in prayer. Series we're going to be in for the next few weeks. We're starting with prayer. And this is heading towards our commitment to ministry and mission funding here at church for the next year. Kids can go to kids' church. I think they're already doing that, Delaney. They knew it anyway. They got it. Go for it. Okay. So how about this for a t-shirt? Prayer, the world's greatest, probably first, wireless connection. You can get it anywhere. You know, you don't have to be in a certain place to pick up the Wi-Fi. It's always there. It's Mother's Day weekend. Happy Mother's Day, mothers, grandmothers. Susanna Wesley was the mother of John Wesley, founder of Methodism, and Charles Wesley, who wrote so many, wrote 5,000 hymns. The two Wesley brothers, founders of Methodism. Susanna Wesley is known as the mother of Methodism. So because of her influence on these two guys, especially, and the rest of the family, but believe it or not, she had 19 children. That is a mother right there. That means constant pregnancy, right? So, 19 children. When did she have a chance to pray? When do you pray when you have 19 kids and a husband, I guess, right? Can't do it. You know what she would do? This is cool. She would take her apron and put it over her head. When she did that, they had to be quiet. Mom's praying. You can try that at home if you want. I don't even know if we have aprons too much. Anyway, go for it. Whatever works, right? Whatever works. So I remember teaching our kids to pray. We had a little book, Thank You, God, for Everything. It was kind of written as a poem. I would start it, and they would repeat. They knew it so well. Who taught you how to pray? When did they do it? Before bedtime? Maybe at grace? At meals? Maybe they're sitting next to you right now. Maybe they're in this room. Wherever they may be, maybe they've gone on. Maybe they're with God right now. Whatever, let's take one, just a brief moment to thank them for teaching us how to pray. Amen. This verse from James 5:16, the prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. Prayer is powerful and effective. Prayer is a love relationship. You know, it's being in a relationship with one who loves us and one who we're coming to love and we're learning to love. Prayer can be powerful and effective. So, if you ever gotten an answer to prayer? You've prayed and you've gotten an answer, right? When I was in the season of really looking for someone to share my life with, I was praying that God would send me this, and Carol appeared and came into my life. And that's another story, but not for today. Except to say this, she's an answer to prayer for me. She's an answer to prayer. So we receive answers all the time. Most of the time, we don't even realize that God is answering prayers that we've hardly even asked, or maybe it was in the back of our minds. But God is there with us all the time. So here, we're going to offer some FAQs on prayer, right? Prayer FAQ, frequently asked questions. Here's the first one. If God knows us and God knows everything, why pray? We heard that one before. I've heard that one a lot. If God knows everything, what's the point? You know, why do that? So, first is to say that God is able to change us for the better. That's why we pray. It's not just for what we get, it's for what God wants to do in us. God can change us. Prayer may not change our circumstances, but it can change us for our circumstances. You get the difference. The circumstance still may be there that we're wrestling with. But God can change our perspective on that. God can change our attitude. God can help us see something we didn't see before. We won't get that unless we pray. We think we already know, but when we get into prayer, we find out, there's more to that than I realize. There's something to grow into. God wants us to pray also because God wants us to know something. What does God want us to know? That God loves us, that we are beloved children of God. You know, when the message came to, you know, from Jesus when he was baptized, "This is my beloved, listen to him." Well, God, every time, you know, when we come into this world, God is saying, "This is my beloved. You are my beloved. You are my child. You are my son. You are my daughter." When I pray, when I ask God for, you know, tell me what I need to know, what's going on, what I always hear, and I've heard this for a long time, "You are my son and I love you. You are my beloved and I love you." That's what God wants us to know. Why do we pray? So we hear that. So we can hear back from God. It's a relationship, right? The relationship is two ways. Here's from Zephaniah in the Old Testament. We don't hear much from Zephaniah, but today we're hearing Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 7. "He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing as a mother coos over her child." Can you believe that's in the Bible? God is like a mother cooing over her child. You can picture that. Isn't that a beautiful image? Like a father who is just bursting with joy to hold that baby. That's what God is doing. That's how much God, you know, wants us to know that we belong, that we're meant to be here, that we have a place, that we have a parent. Even when others aren't reliable, even when we haven't had the greatest, you know, childhood, even when things didn't go the way they should have gone or where we wanted them to go, we can depend on God. God is our parent. God is your parent. God sees you, knows every hair on your head. God knows everything that you need, everything about you. God wants to be close to you, like a mother who coos over her child. God is cooing over you. God is cooing over you. God is smiling on you. That's why we pray. Does it pay to pray? You know, I pray, I don't see much happening. Just words thrown out into the air. It's just a, you know, why do it? Just talking to myself. You know, if we don't see any response, any results, why do it? Does it pay? Think about this. Does it pay to talk to your spouse? Some of us may need to be reminded of that once in a while. Does it pay to talk to your children? Does it pay to talk to the people who are close to you? I mean, do we do it for pay? Because we're going to get something back? Of course it pays. Think about how your life would fall apart if you stopped talking. Now, sometimes, yes, we all want somebody to read our minds. No, she should read my mind. He should read my mind. But, you know, we do that with God too, don't we? But we're talking about a relationship here. We're talking about relationships are built through sharing by expressing what's inside of us, expressing what's going on. Do we evaluate every conversation we have with our spouse or good friend in terms of what we get out of it? No. I sure hope not. We're in touch because we're sharing life together. We're sharing our worlds together. We're sharing, you know, what's going on together. We don't see things the same way. We bring what we have. Like any love relationship, it isn't always smooth sailing. Prayer can be compared to a farmer plowing a field. So, farmer's plowing a field. When the farmer plows, sometimes the plow goes right through the, go through the soil. Everything is great. No problems. Can plow through, plant the seeds. Everything works the way it's supposed to work. But sometimes there's stones, there's boulders, big things, those roots that go down, they don't get pulled up, very difficult to pull up. Sometimes there's swamps and marshy stuff and things that suck you down, suck your feet down in. There's all kinds of things that farmers have to deal with when they're plowing the field. Well, prayer is like that. Prayer is like that. Our relationships are like that. Those stones and boulders and stumps and all that, those are our problems, our worries, our anxieties, our fears, our doubts. They arise in our relationships. And just like the farmer needs to figure out how to keep going to plow the field, we need to keep going in prayer. We need to keep to it. We need to stay at it. Bring all those things to prayer. Bring all those worries, doubts, fears. Bring all those to prayer. We have to work at it. It's like we have to work at any relationship. We have to work at prayer so we, prayer is God work. Bring each of these to prayer. So I pray when I'm in trouble. Isn't that enough? I pray. How many times did you pray before the big test? That's a big source of prayer. Or, the paper that's due tomorrow and I haven't started it yet. Or for us, the project, the big project that's, that they're all counting on me. Or maybe it's a big meeting that's coming and I'm in charge and I've got to lead that thing. Or a client I've got to deal with who's very difficult and I'm not sure how to do with that, but it's on my plate. We pray in those moments, don't we? We have a job interview, and we want to make sure it goes well. A lot's riding on it. We pray at those times. Yes, we need to. All those are good times, important times to pray. But let me ask this. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Do you depend on prayer to get you where you're going, or is it a backup when something goes wrong? Yeah, it's the spare tire. But it doesn't have to be just that. Prayer can be the steering wheel. Prayer can be what gets us from here to there. Not just, the backup in case, when I'm in trouble, when I'm off, when I'm afraid I'm going to go off the road, something might happen. We work at a lot of things. We work at our attitudes, our actions. We work on so many things in our lives. Why not work on prayer? Why not bring it from the back, trunk, to the front of the car, to the front of our lives. People who, we who perform and act and do all these different things and, we're driving down the street. We need to bring prayer into that, into where we're going, into what we're about. Now, prayer can be dangerous because it offers us getting close to God, but it also has the element of change involved with it. It may not be exactly what we ask for. We pray and we're looking for something and we don't get it, but we get something else and we realize when we look back on it, that was an answer to prayer. That really was what I needed. I didn't even know it until I got it. And then it's like, ooh, that's better than I would have come up with. I didn't think of that. That's when we know we're in prayer, when it's not our idea. When something comes through and it's like, I didn't know that. That's God right there. That's prayer. And that's what we all can be in. Because when it's that, it's better. It leads to a better place. It feels better. It's more relaxed. It's more peaceful. We're not having to grasp, so hard for it. There's prayer going on this month at Glenmar. I'm so excited about this. So, never heard of a church doing this before. This is a first. I don't think Glenmar's done it before either. we're entering, as I say, our season of discernment around what are we going to be doing in terms of our response to God's many gifts to us, God's abundance. How are we going to, you know, decide, commit to our response to that? And the grounding for that is prayer. And so what we sent out to all of the committees, groups, teams, we got a lot of them, right? A lot of things that meet during the week here, not just here, other places. And we said, would you or will you consider praying either before or after your meeting for the church? You know, for specifics, we gave them a list. You know, there's pastors on there and church leaders and committees and groups and, you know, leaders of different kinds, but also for the whole church, for all of you, for all of us, for our musicians, for our teams, our music department, all of the different parts that make our church who we are. And you know what's happened? What we got back? You know, it was a request. We didn't tell them to do it. We asked them. And we got this overwhelming response back. We'll do that. We'll do that. We'll meet a half an hour ahead of time. A half an hour ahead of a meeting to pray. Think about that. That's what's going on at Glenmore now. Started this week, going to continue for the next few weeks. So if you're part of any groups, small group, whatever group you're part of, you know where this is coming from. It's coming from kind of within the church. It's kind of bubbling up. Prayer is bubbling up in the church right now. We're excited about that. How do you pray? How do you pray? So the disciples, I think they were the Jesus. They could have asked him anything. You know, they could have asked him a lot of things. They could have, how do you do that healing? How did that happen? How did you perform that miracle? How did you know what to say to that person? How did you forgive that person? How did you do whatever it is? They didn't ask those questions. They asked one question. How do you pray? How do we pray? Teach us how to pray. That's what they said. Lord, teach us how to pray. So, he taught them what we know of as the Lord's Prayer. That doesn't mean it's Jesus' prayer. That means it's our prayer taught to us by Jesus. Teaching us how he prays so that we can pray that way. What better teacher there could there be than Jesus? The Lord's Prayer is not just a prayer to say, it's also a way to pray. It's a pattern, it's a model, it's a framework for prayer. Now this isn't about praying the right way. Sometimes we get hung up on, I don't know the right way to pray, or I don't know the right words. It's not about the right way or the right words. This is more of a pattern, a model that we kind of stay in or we can use. Not to have the perfect prayer, there is no perfect prayer. Being real before God, that's what God wants. So, but this is a way of kind of framing it, right? The Lord's Prayer. So when you pray, Jesus said this, pray in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. That's Matthew 6, 9-13. The Lord's Prayer comes from the Bible. The Lord's Prayer comes from Jesus himself. It was a response to the disciples' question, Lord, teach us how to pray. And that's what he taught them. So remember when Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple? You know, that was when, you know, they were doing all these things in the temple, and Jesus came in and said, my house must be a house of prayer. A house of prayer. The temple should be a house of prayer. So now it isn't just that God resides in temples in this church building. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which means God resides in us, which means we can become a house of prayer also. our temple, our body, can become a house of prayer, a place where prayer, where we're in relationship with God. And if we use this image or metaphor of house, kind of help us get a sense of what that house of prayer might involve within us. So that we're all creating our own houses of prayer within us. So visualize a house with me, a house with 12 rooms. There it is. We're helping you with the visualization. 12 rooms, a pretty big house. All around a central courtyard with a way in, a specific floor plan that we're going to follow this morning. When we enter the house, we enter it, you see the door down there at the lower part. Remember this from the Psalms. Enter his house, enter his courts with praise. So we enter our house of prayer with praise. Our own house of prayer within us. We start with a place of blessing his name. Enter his courts with praise and bless his name. So as we enter the house, our house of prayer, we enter it with joy on our lips, with praise on our lips. Thank you, God, for being my God, for being with me as I enter my house of prayer. Now we're going to go into the first room, and it's the one down there right next to the door. The very first room is the family room. We enter the house, and we're immediately in the family room. Isn't that cool? The family room, our Father who art in heaven. God is our parent. We are God's children. Here we hear that God loves us wholly and completely. Abba is what Jesus used. That was the name for father in Aramaic, is the word that he used. It means close parent, like daddy. So in the family room, we start in the family room. What a great place to start. We start with God in the family room. God is our parent. Then we move to the next room, go to the around to the left, yep, to the adoration room. Hallowed be your name. We honor and revere God. There is no name better than God's. Jesus, what a wonderful name. Jesus, your name high and above all other names. Jesus, we revere your name. Hallowed be your name. Your name. The name of Jesus, the name of God. You know, names carry a lot of meaning. In some parts of the world, you are your name, right? Well, think about dwelling in this house for a moment about what does it mean? What does God's name mean to me? What name? So many different names for God. Hallowed be your name, God. Your name. The next room we move over to the side there is the declaration room. Your kingdom come, which is to say, if it's your kingdom, it's not my kingdom. Now, all of us have our own kingdoms, so to speak. We have our places where we can influence others, where we can be in touch with people, we can relate to people and make some things happen. You know, it's within our families, it's within our sphere of influence. We all have that. But our kingdoms are meant to be underneath God's kingdom. Sometimes we switch those. But when we're in the declaration room, as we're in building our house of prayer, we're saying it is your kingdom, which is to say it's not my kingdom come. That's a big statement right there. God reigns in my life, in my family, my church, in my world. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, your kingdom. Then we move up to the surrender room. Surrender. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Your will be done. We surrender. We yield our ownership and relinquish our control to God. I surrender all. I surrender. You know, what am I trying to hold on so tightly? In the surrender room, we kind of identify that and we surrender that. And what is it that we don't want to let go of? That's probably the thing that we need to surrender. It's probably the thing that's you know, one of those stones that we got to move around, or boulders? What is it that's keeping me from giving myself to God? That's in the surrender room. Some of us may want to spend time in the surrender room. We move up to the provision room. Give us this day our daily bread. We ask for what we need, and God supplies. What's really cool about this is as soon as we ask for it, we're getting it. That's how God works. As soon as we get to the place where we really know this is what I need, God's coming around and saying, I'm here to supply that. I'm your supplier. I'm your umbilical cord. You know, I'm that electric current that's coming in. I'll supply what you need. I'll help you. I'll give you some gas in the tank, whatever it is, like that. Provision room. We move next to the forgiveness room and forgive us our sins. We admit our need for forgiveness. We need to be forgiven. Every day we pray this prayer as we're in our house of prayer. God, forgive me for missing something, for dropping some ball, for hurting somebody. Often it's unintentional. For forgetting something, for whatever it is, for being willfully, I'm gonna do it my way no matter what. Forgive us for these things. We need to ask for forgiveness, and then we're made whole. The next one is the freedom room. As we forgive those who have sinned against us or trespassed against us, forgiveness leads us to a life where we find freedom. I know it's hard to forgive sometimes. Sometimes it's easy. I can forgive that, I can forgive that, I can forgive that. You know. But there are times when it's really hard to forgive, where something's happened to us that shouldn't have happened, that's unfair, unjust, where, you know, it was a horrible thing. And we find it very difficult to let go of that. We find it very difficult to forgive that. But here's the thing. If we don't, or when we don't, we're not free. We're trapped. We may need to spend time in this freedom room, because it leads to freedom when we forgive. Forgiveness leads to freedom. You know? As we forgive those who have sinned against us. The next one is the protection room. Lead us not into temptation. God defends, preserves, and protects us, body, soul, and mind. And friends, we live in a world where there's more temptations than ever. You know, there's people that just work at how to tempt us. And they spend all day long, how can we get them to do this? How can we get them to buy this, try this, immerse themselves in this, let themselves go in this? Make it seem like it's fine, it's okay, everybody's doing it. The internet is built on this in a lot of different ways. You know, there's more ways than ever to be tempted. We need God's help in that. We need God's help. We need God's protection to defend and preserve us and protect us. And when we do go off of those things, we need God's protection to help get us back. Forgive us for those things. God wants us to be whole. God doesn't want us to be trapped in all of these kinds of what looks good, what is immediate and in front of us, and is really not for us. To deliver us from evil, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Deliver us from evil. There's evil in this world. There's evil power. Sometimes it's hard to really put our finger on it, but we feel it. Deliver us from that. You know, when it really seems like it's not good, we need deliverance. For yours is the kingdom. Our citizenship is with God. Yours is the power. We trust in God's authority in our lives. God is the authority. That's who we listen to. Yours is the power. Yours is the power to speak into me. And yours is the glory. As we entered the house with praise, we are departing the house with praise. Yours is the glory forever and ever. Yours, you are the best. We depart with praise. So friends, if we don't pray, this is a model for prayer. This is a way for us to be thinking about prayer. I'm going to invite you to think about the Lord's Prayer this week. You might want to Google it and see other ways that it's presented. And, you know, pray the Lord's Prayer with a little more intentionality this week, and stay in a room. When you get to a room that you need to stay in it for a little bit before you move around to the rest of the rooms. Prayer helps us become multidimensional. You know, without prayer, life is flat. When we're in prayer, we experience all the rest of life. We receive what God wants us to receive. So today you're going to get, as you go out from church, we have little packets of cards. They're pray and act cards. And there's one per family. There are activities to do over the next 4 weeks. So there's a daily activity card. So take a look at those and see, you know, let them spark you to be in prayer about something, to do something. Here's one for this week that I liked. Pick one drawer and clean it out. Right? Don't just move things around. Throw them away, recycle, or donate. So the idea is the things in our life that we've accumulated can keep us from prayer, can keep us from really discerning what God wants. We get, you know, all when we do that, we do a little bit of work here and a little bit of work there, it helps us. The cards say defy gravity. It helps us defy gravity, the gravity that keeps pulling us down and back into all the stuff. Helps us get kind of released from that. So we invite you to be in, you know, discerning, living into what it means to be living in the abundance of God's many, many, many resources that God is always giving us. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for this day. We thank you, God, for our moms and those who have been like mothers to us. We thank you, God, for the way you coo over us, the way you parent us. We thank you for Jesus, who taught us how to pray and continues to teach us to pray. And Lord, help us to learn, to grow more and more into people of prayer, so that we may become more and more your disciples. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.